Begin the current daf, Maseches Erech and Daf Yud. Begin 4 lines down with the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of these Mishnahs in this Perek regarding Ein Nerachon, Ein Be'erichen, which we said that there's a minimum and a maximum, so too the Mishnahs go through different halachas that also have that same theme about a minimum and a maximum. So says the Mishnah, Ein Peichesim, Mi Esrim Ve'achas Tekiyos Ba'Mikdash. We do not have less than 21 blasts of the trumpets throughout an entire day in the base of Migdash. There's not less than 21. But let me see if an Alar Bar Mishmai, and neither do we do more than 48, which the Gemara Masechta Sukkah and Perek Chalil Daf Nun Yuman Beis goes through to describe how much blasts there are throughout the day to show that that's the minimum and that's the maximum, depending on what type of a day it is. Continues the Mishnah. Ein Peichesin Mishnei Nevalim. There's not less than 2 of these instruments called the navel in the base of Migdash, because for 2 different Levim, which Rabbeinu Gershom brings interpretation, there's different interpretations of what this instrument of the navel is. He said it was made out of wood, which was made like this round sieve made out of wood, which they would cover over it from either side. They would take the intestines of the lamb of the carbon tumet, as the Mishnah teaches in Masechet Kinim, that they would take the different parts of it and utilize it for different mitzvah purposes. And they would take the intestines for the navel, they would put it over on top of that vessel to dry, and then they would bang on the intestine, it would make a large noise, as one does with a drum, which you have that was, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, what the navel was. But either way, this navel instrument, it was not less than 2. V'loy mesivin al shisha, but they wouldn't make more than 6, which Rashi says is not clear the reasoning for that, why they could only have up to 6 of the naval. Continues the Mishnah. Ein peichesin mishnei chalilim. We don't have less than 2 flutes. V'loy mesivin al shnei maser, and we don't have more than 12. Meaning, if they want to, they can make 12 flutes, correlating to the 12 days that the flute actually plays in front of the Mizbech. Because actually, as our Mishnah continues to tell us, that a b'shneim osu yim b'shana ha-chalil maklef ne-mizbech. 12 days during the year, the flute would be hit in front of the altar. Now, the reason why we use the terminology hitting is because the way a flute works is that there's holes in the flute, and the finger hits on the hole, which that sweetens the voice. That's how the music is played. Because in contrast, all the other days of the year, although they played too, but they would only play with the navel and the cymbals, they wouldn't use the flute. That's why he said on the days that they used the flute, there wasn't less than 2, but they could have 12 correlated to the 12 days in the year that they actually used the flute. What are these 12 days? Beshchitas Pesach Rishon, on the slaughtering of the first Karban Pesach, which is on the 14th of Nisan, which the reason why we played the Halil in these days and why they were unique is because this is when they would recite the Halil. In contrast, generally when they had the Mizbeich, when they had the Karbanis, when they would play, it would be a regular Mizmer Shir. Here they would sing the Halil in the courtyard during the time of the slaughtering, as the Gemara says in Pesachim Dav Samach Dal Mer Aleph. So too, Beshchitas Pesach Sheni, for those who were tummy or far away, they would slaughter on the next month and year, on that same date. They would also play the Chalil, because then they would also sing the Hal. And V'yem Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, the first day of the Yom Tov of Pesach. U'B'yem Tov Shel Atzeres, on the one day Yom Tov of Shavuos. U'B'shmoinis Me'achag, on the 8 days of Sukkot. Now, V'lohoye Maka Ba'abav Shel Nechayshus. The Gemara is going to explain that this abav is the same thing we were talking about before the chalil, it's the flute, and the Gemara is going to explain this. They wouldn't use a flute made out of copper. Ela ba'abav shal nekana, they would use a flute made out of a reed. Because that is a sweet sound. And they wouldn't conclude, when they would be playing that whole symphony, ela ba'abav yechidi. When they would come to the closing of that song, they would only close with a singular flutist, because that is more beautiful when you're ending, that after everyone finishes, that one flute ends. Because that is more beautiful than when they're all ending together at the same time. Now, although we're using the word machlik, chiluk means ending, because it differentiates between the different sounds, between the different songs. Now, at the time of the hakrava of the nesachim, this is when they would sing the song, Levim would sing also with their mouths, they would be playing, and then the Levim would be singing the Hal in those 12 days, and those are the days that they would play the flute. In contrast, like we said, all the other days of the year, so they had the Nevalim and the cymbals and the harps, and then they would sing not Hal, but the Shir that's explicit on that day, as the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Flaman Alaf Rav. On Sunday, they would sing Lashem Moritz Malaya, which we say now in the Shir Shal Yom during davening and Shachros, and that whole Mizmer, and on Monday would be Gadol Shem Hula, and also on all those days. Now, continues the Mishnah, those that would be playing the flute on these 12 days, who were they? So there's a three-way machlokes. The Avdi Kahanim HaYudivrei Meir. Meir said these were the servants of the slaves of the Kahanim. Those are the ones who played the flute. Rabbi Yisem, he says, it was Mishpachas Beis Pagrim Ubeis Tzipara. There were these families, called the family of Pagrim, the family of Tzipra, Me'amum, who were from this place of Amum. And these were distinguished families that Hayimasin Lakuna, that they married into Kahanim, and the Kahanim would marry their daughters because they were what's called Yisrael Meyuchasim. They were distinguished lineage of Yisrael. And Reb Chanina ben Atignas, he said, no, Levim Hayu, it was the Levim, they were the ones who played the flute. Now the Gemara says, Masnit, in the opening halacha of our Mishnah, that said that the minimum was 21 trumpet blasts and the maximum was 48, is the Lekab Yehuda. Because the Tanya Linda, Bryce Yehuda, I mean, he says a different opinion. He says, Le'pahpoiches le'yifches mi'sheva, the least amount that you could do is 7 blasts. V'amlesiv le'yitzav ha'sheshesri, and the most you could do is 16. Now the truth is, really, they're saying the same amount that there was in the Beis HaMikdash. But the thing is that in our Mishnah, we count every tekiah and truah by itself as a separate blast. So therefore we get that type of a number. Because you can't have a truah blast without having a tekiah before it and the tekiah afterwards. Now Rabbi Yehuda, however, doesn't count the tekiah and truah and tekiah as separate, but rather as one. So it comes out that the 21 that the Tana of our Mishnah said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's 7. And the 48 of the Tana of our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's 16, because you divide by 3. What are they disagreeing about? They all hold the same amount of blast. Why is he calling it 7 and they're calling it 21? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Sava, he held Tekiya Trua, Tekiya Chadihi. That's considered one blast. It's the Trua which needs the Tekiya before it and afterwards, and they're all considered one. Rabban Sava, that no, Tekiya Lachud, but Trua Lachud, but Tekiya Lachud. Each one is its own blast, and therefore they count it as 21 and 48. Says the Gemara, my time in Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason Rabbi Yehuda that he counts it all as one? Says ksiv, because the pasuk says in Midrash as follows: says utikatim trua, that you should blow a blast. Uksiv, the next pasuk says trua yisku, that the blast you should blow. Now we see that the pasuk is calling a trua tkiya and tkiya a trua. Shmaminos, obviously you could infer from the pasuk is tkiya trua tkiya chadi. It's all one thing, and therefore we count it as one. For Rabbanan, they would tell you that no, how who that those psukim is lepshuta lefaneu upshuta lacharehu daasa. It's actually from here that we learn out the halacha that you need to have a regular tekiah blast before the trua, like it says utkatim, and then it says trua, and also that you need to have a regular tekiah blast after the trua, like it says trua, and then it says yitku. But really, each one is its own mitzvah, and therefore each one is counted as separately according to the Rabban. Now the Gemara says, Rabbanam item, what's the reason Rabbanam that they count them as each one individually? Because the chesiv, the next pasuk actually after that says, "Uvahakel esakol," when you gather together the assembly of the Jewish people, "tisku v'loy tiriu." Then only blow a regular blast called a tekiah, and not a true, which has those stops, those interpositions in the blast. Now, say the rabban as follows: "V'isakadaitach nediv." You would entertain to say, like Rabbi Yehuda says, "tekiah true, tekiah chadihi," that it's one blast. So then, Amrachmana Ovid Pagi the mitzvah, Torah is going to tell you to do a half a mitzvah. How could you ever have a situation of only a tekiah, not a true, if it's really one thing? How could you do a half? Obviously, because each one is considered its own separate mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda would tell you that no, Simana Ba'amahu. That was just a sign for the Jewish people to gather together. That wasn't a mitzvah. You're right. Anytime there's a mitzvah, you wouldn't be able to separate because they're really one. Here it was just a sign to gather together, and therefore you could do a tekiah without a true, but really, tekiah true and tekiah is one mitzvah. Says the Gemara, "Kaman azla hod amar Rav Kahana." According to whom of the Tanoim that we just quoted does the Amar Rav Kahana go like when he said the following halacha? Says, "Ein bein tekiya latrua." You can't separate, can't pause between the tekiya blast and the trua blast. V'loikum, nothing at all. You shouldn't delay at all between the tekiya and the trua, and between the trua and the tekiya. After that, rather at one time, consecutively, right after each other, do you have to blow them? Says Gemara, "Kaman who's that like?" That's Kib Yehuda, who he said that's one mitzvah, and therefore you shouldn't stop between one and the other because it's really one mitzvah. Says Gemara, "Pshita, obviously, Rabbi Yehuda, what do you have to say this for?" Says Gemara, "No, ma'av detem, what would you say? I feel like Rabbana asked that Rav Kahana was even like the Rabbanan." And this that Rav Kahana says, "Ein bein," it's not that you have to make it literally one after the other right away, because it's not really one mitzvah. Rather, you shouldn't just delay too much. Because Rav Kahana was coming to do is coming to exclude from the opinion of Rabbi Yechon. Daman that he says regarding the blast that we blow in Rosh Hashanah, he says Shama Teisha Tekiyah. So if someone heard the 9 blasts, which that's the minimum person has to hear, the 3 of Malchus, the 3 of Zechoinis, and the 3 of Shefaris, If he hears those 9 blasts, in 9 hours in the day, meaning that between every blast, he waited an hour, Rabbi Yochanan says, Yatzah, he has to still fulfill his obligation. So you would think that's just what Rav Kahana is coming to exclude. But not that you have to have literally right after Tekiyat Teruah, you could wait. Because like Rabbanan, it's not the same mitzvah. It's just that he was just coming to say, you just can't wait an hour. Kamash Malan, that's what we're telling you, that no, that he's only like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbanan. So it's like, why, Vehmachanami? Why say like Rav Kahana is even like Rabbanan? They're separate mitzvahs. You don't have to do it right together, literally, because it's not like Rabbi Yehuda. He was just saying, you just can't do it like Rabbi Yehuda. So it's Gemara, but no, Im Kenev was like the Rabbanan, Maiva like Klum. And why would he say no interruption at all? Sounds like you can't stop at all, which is like a Behuda, because it's literally the one mitzvah, according to Rabbanan. Yes, maybe you wouldn't be able to wait an hour, but you wouldn't have to do it right away immediately, and therefore it's saying like that Rav Kahana was like a Behuda. Mishnah said, he said 12 days in the year in the Beis HaMikdash, they would play the flute. Now, says Gemara Maishnahani, why these 12 days did they play the flute? So as we explained, because Hayavayachid Gaimah ben Zahal, which this really correlates to what the Mishnah's next halach is, which these are the 12 days in the year that they would have the hal being sung when they would do those avoidus of those karbanas on those special days, which is the same 12 days in the year that an individual concludes hal, because there are certain days that obviously, most of the year we don't say hal at all. There's some days that we say what's called chatzi hal. But then there are days that we conclude the whole hal. There are 18 days, although we said in the Mishnah 12, but there's a difference regarding what we're saying over here in regards to the Tavim that we have out of the Beis HaMikdash. But there's 18 days, Shayachad Gaimah ben Zahal, that an individual concludes the whole hal. There's Shmoni Me'achag, the 8 days of Sukkot, Vashmoni Mechanukah, and this is the difference, that there's the 8 days of Chanukah, which that's not counted in the Mishnah, because there's no Korban Musaf regarding Chanukah. So that wasn't counted as the days they played the flute. But that's the day, same days that an individual finished the Hal, the same days that they said Hal in the Beis HaMikdash. V'yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, this is the first day of Pesach, V'yom Tov Shel Atzeres, and then you have the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Now, U'begayla Eser Ve'echad, but there were two other days that we mentioned in the Mishnah, which are not counted over here, which is the days of the slaughtering of the Korban Pesach, which an individual doesn't say his own hal, but all the other days are the same days. Now says the Gemara, Bugayla Esam Echad. In the diaspora, there's 21 days that an individual finishes hal. You have Tisha Me'achag, you have the 9 days of Sukkot, because we add an extra day because of Sveikah Deyema, the Shmoini Me'chanukah, and like we said, the 8 days of Chanukah, Vishnei Yom Tov Shel Pesach, the 2 days of Pesach, Vishnei Yom Tov Shel Tzeres, and we have the 2 days of Shavuos. So the Gemara wonders, so Maishno, and so again, that's the days that they would blow, they would play the Chalil, the flute, in the Beis HaMikdash, which are they said Hal, which is basically the same days that an individual concludes Hal. Now the Gemara wonders, Maishno B'chag Daminu Kol Yema, why is it, as we were quoting, that we said that on every day of Sukkot, on all the 8 days, an individual concludes the whole Hal? Maishno B'Pesach, the Lo Yemrinan, as we continue to the Beis, Kol Yema, why is it on Pesach? Although we say hal, but we don't say the whole hal, we say chatzi hal. Why on every day of Pesach don't we conclude the whole hal? Says the Gemara, the difference is the chag, chalukim, b'karban the same. On Sukkot, every day's karbanos are different, they're distinct, because what's called the pri hachag, which are the karbanos that are brought on Sukkot, we start with a large number, and every day it decreases, but every day is a different number than it is in the previous day because of its distinction, so therefore it deserves its own special hal, which is the conclusion, concluding the whole hal. The Pesach in Chalukah become the same, but on Pesach, every single day is the same karbanos, since it's not different, so on the first day, or on the diaspora 2 days, we conclude hal, but the rest of Pesach, then they don't say the whole hal. But then the Gemara asked, but Shabbos, the Chalukah b'Karban HaSeil, Shabbos that its Karbanos is different than the rest of the week, where it has a Karban Musaf that differentiates it from a regular day. Lema, we should say Hal on Shabbos. So the Gemara, Leikur Mayid, it's not called a Mayid, which is the regular translation of what a holiday is, but it doesn't have that distinction of being called a Mayid, therefore there's no Hal. So the Gemara, Resh Chodesh, the Ikri Mayid, but Resh Chodesh, the beginning of the month, which is called Mayid. Now, as we find this, this is because in the beginning of Eichet, it says, Kara Lai Moed. The Jewish people say, Hashem recited on me a Moed. Which that means to say, as it says in the fourth parak of Masechtas Tainis, that Tammuz of that year, of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Hashem made it a full month, that this was correlating to the days of when the spies had gone, which came out that both days were going to be on Tisha B'Av, which Hashem made it to be that on the bad day comes bad, which Hashem recited, which He cited on me that this Moed, which is the Tisha B'Av came out the same day, which is because of Rish Chodesh. He made it a full month, which that was the distinction of what day was Rish Chodesh. We see that that was, Hashem made it specially that it should be a full month, that it should be an added day, it should come out on Tisha B'Av. So we see that Rish Chodesh is called a Mayid, Salema, so we should say Hal on Rish Chodesh, which although we do, again, but we don't say the full Hal. So the Gemara, Le'ikdash Basis Malacha, but it's not sanctified with the prohibition of doing Malacha on Rish Chodesh. So like it says in the Pasuk Yeshaya, that that's integral. It says, Hashir, the song of Hal, Yilchem will be for you by the ultimate redemption, Kaleil his Kaddish Chag, like that night which was sanctified as a holiday, referring to Yitzis Mitzrayim by Pesach, which was at nighttime, which teaches us it has to be Leila HaMakudish, has to be a night which is sanctified by a prohibition of doing Malacha, Lechag for a holiday. That's where Toin Shir, that's like what the Pasuk is saying over there, that requires the Song of Hal. But V'she'im HaKudish Lechag, but if it's not sanctified as a holiday of a prohibition of Malacha, Ein Toin Shira doesn't require a song, and therefore Rish Chodesh does not require Hal. So the Gemara is, Rish Hashanah B'Kippurim, Rish Hashanah B'Kippur, the Ikra Mayid, which is called a Mayid, it's a yamtiv, v'ikdash basis malacha, and it's prohibited by doing malacha, lema, we should say hal on Rishonim B'Kippur, and we don't. Says the Gemara, that's Mishum Dir Bevo. That's because of a different reason. Damar Bevo, he says, Amar Malacha Shavus Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what the ministering angels said in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbein Shalom, Master of the World. Why don't the Jewish people sing song of hal in front of you on Rishonim B'Kippurim, as they do on the other Yom Tovim? Samuel hence Hashem says to them, Efshir Melech Yeshiv, Akisa Din, is it possible that the king is sitting on the chair of justice, B'Sifri Chaim, B'Sifri Mesim, Suchel Lefanim, and the books of life and the books of dead are open in front of him, Yisrael and Mashir Lefanai, and the Jewish people are going to sing a song in front of me? There's great trepidation on that day. That's not a day when we sing the song of Hal. But the Gemara asks, but V'Chanukah, we have the 8 days of Chanukah, D'loy Hachi V'loy Hachi. It's not a Mayid, it's not Ikdash Basis Malacha, but come, yet we do say Hal. So it's like, well, that's Mishum Nisa. That's for different, that's because of the great miracle that happened on Chanukah. So the Gemara says, but then Purim Dika Nisa Lema, so then Purim, which also had the great miracle, which those are the two rabbinic holidays of Chanukah and Purim, both say Al Anisim, so then we should say Hal. So Amr Yitzchak, he says, but Lafi She'in Oimim Shira Al Nesha B'chutz Laretz. Chanukah was a miracle that happened in Eretz Yisrael. But Purim was outside, was in Persia, was in Paras. There we don't say Shira, we don't say Hal on the miracle that happens out of Eretz Yisrael. On that, Maskev L'Renachem by Yitzchak, he says, what do you mean? Vare Yitzis Mitzrayim. But leaving Egypt, the Nesha B'chutz Laretz, so it's a miracle that happens out of Eretz Yisrael, V'amin Hal. And that's the prototype, that's where we say Kalelis Kadosh Chag, that we do say Shira, we do say Hal. Says the Gemara, that's Kedetan like Luna Brisa. Actually, Nichnus Yisrael arts until the Jewish people ever reached to Eretz Yisrael, Hukshru Kalaratzis Lemeshu, then all the lands were fit to sing the Song of Hal, which before they when they were leaving Egypt was before they ever came to Eretz Yisrael. But Nichnus La'arts, once they came into Eretz Yisrael, Lahukshru Kalaratzis Lemeshu, then all the other lands were not fit to sing the song, and that miracle of Purim was already after they had been in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore since it was in Chutz La'arts, it wasn't fit to say Hal. Another approach from Nachum Namer, to answer the question, why in Purim don't we say Hal? He says, actually, Kriyasa, the reading of the Megillah, Zuhi Hilela, that is the Hal of Purim. That's the song. One reads the Megillah, you see, that's the great rejoicing of the great miracle. Another approach, Ravam, he says, Bishleim HaHasim, he says, no. You don't say Hal on Purim because it's understood over there by Yitzis Mitzrayim, which, as we even said, even though that's a miracle out of Eretz Yisrael, but it says, as we say in the Hal, Halu Avdi Hashem, sing song to him, the servants of Hashem, which the inference is v'loy avdi pari, because we're no more the slaves of pari, so we could sing the song of Hal. But Hach over here regarding Purim, halu avdi Hashem, what are you going to sing? You're going to start off Hal, you're going to say sing songs to him, the servants of Hashem, v'loy avdi achashverish, and not the servants of achashverish. Akati avdi achashverish, Anan, we're still the slaves of achashverish. Mitzrayim we left, we're done with pari. Achashverish, they were still under the subjugation of the Persian kings, and we never left that. We're still in servitude to them, and therefore it wouldn't be appropriate to say Hal on Purim. The Gemara says, Ulu Reb Nachman, according to his interpretation, the Amar that he actually said that you're right, on Purim we do say Hal, but Kriyasa Zuhi Leila, which is just like the miracle was hidden, so to the Hal is hidden that we say in the Megillah, but he says that is the Hal that we say, it's just through the reading of the Megillah. But Hatani, we learned in the Brisa that we quoted before that said, once the Jewish people came into Eretz Yisrael, all the other lands are not appropriate to sing songs. So how can you say that the Megillah is the Hal, But the miracle of Purim was after the Jewish people came in there Eretz Yisrael, and it took place out of Eretz Yisrael. So how could you have Hallel? Says the Gemara, he held Kibin Shagolo, but once they went out to exile again, which the miracle of Purim was at the end of Gola's Bavel, Chazul, Atarin, Rishon, they went back to being permitted to sing Shira, even for a miracle that happens out of Eretz Yisrael, just like Beitzis Mitzrayim, and therefore you could say that Kriyasa, Zuhi Leila, that the Megillah, is the Hal. Now the Mishnah said, Lohayim Makaba Avish Anacheshes B'chulu, that they wouldn't play a flute from, made out of copper, rather made out of a reed. So the Gemara wonders, Pasach B'chalil, when we started talking about the flute, we called it a chalil, U'mesayim Ba'avav, and then we end up talking about this instrument called the Avav. So Amar Papi says, Hainu chalil, hainu avav. It's the same instrument. And really it's called an avav. And therefore, when we continue to talk about its halachas, we call it avav. V'amai kar l'chalil, why do we call it chalil? The chali kali, because its sound is sweet to listen to, and chali is sweet, therefore we call it a chalil, but really it's an avav. Now, Tanam Ramon the Braisa, that avav ha'yib ha'migdash, there was this flute in the base of Migdash, that chalakai, it was smooth because the reed was peeled. Da'akai, its sides were thin. Shalkana hayu was made out of a reed. Meisha hayu, it was from the days of Meisha and had a sweet sound. Now tziva melech v'tziputz azav, the king commanded, he wanted to make it really even more beautiful, just a reed, said to coat it, to plate it with gold. But v'lohayu kaila arv, and then its sound wasn't sweet anymore. Notlu es tzipuyu, they took away that gold coating. V'hayu kaila arv k'meisha, and then its sound became back sweet again as it always was. Similarly, tzilzal hayu b'mikdash, there was these symbols, which are these two vessels that hit each other, which makes a soft, thin sound, which were made out of copper, and they had a sweet sound, but then they got dented. So then the sages sent for and brought craftsmen from Alexandria in Egypt, and they fixed these symbols, but didn't make a sweet sound anymore. Not less, they took away what the Alexandrians had fixed, and then it was sweet as it always was before. There was this mortar in the base of Mikdash, which is where you crush with a pestle the spices. That was made out of copper. It was from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. And they would grind the spices over there, which were from the samanim of the herbs of the Keteres. And it had a sweet sound, a clear sound, which would crush the besom, the spices, very well, and would give a good smell in it. And the reason for that is because, like the Gemara says in Masechtas Krisis, that the one who grinds the spices would say, very thin, thin, very, because sound actually is helpful for spices. Now, but then this bagma, then it got dented, it got ruined. So they brought the craftsmen from Alexandria of Egypt and they fixed it. Then it wasn't making it, has a good smell as it always did. They took away what they fixed. Then it went back to its good old grinding of giving a good aroma to the spices. Now, says the Gemara, the Elushne Kalim, these two vessels made out of copper, the cymbals and the mortar, Nishtairim and Mikdash Rishon were left over from the first Beis HaMikdash. Nispagmu v'lohoy elam arucha. And they got ruined and it didn't work as well as they always did. Valeim Amar David, which the Gersayis say it's not David, but rather a Pasuk in Malachim Aleph, that says similarly regarding these types of vessels that are made out of copper, Necheshis Memurat, which is thin copper that's so thin that it could be folded over. And similarly, a pasuk in Devar Yomim Beis that says Necheshis, and the mem is taken out, Meirik, shiny copper. Where Valeim Ho'emer, regarding these vessels, it says in Sefer Ezra, V'kli Necheshis, the copper vessels, the Gersayis says Mutzav Taiva, which are, they're very good, and they're gold-colored, Shnayim Tu, Chamudis, and the Gersayis says Kizav, are precious like gold. Now, what does this mean when it says two precious like gold? So Machlik is Rav Shmuel. Chadam 1 says, Kol echad ve'echad shakal kishnayim shalzav. Every one of these precious copper vessels were as equal to two golden vessels. V'chadam, the other one says, no, shneim shkulun ke'echad shalzav. That two of the copper, these precious copper ones, were equal to one golden one. And similarly, Tanur of Yisrael Torah Braisa, shneim shkulun ke'echad shalzav. The two of these copper ones were equal to one golden one. Now, Tanur of Nusnam, he says, actually, when the pasuk says shnayim, that shneim hayu, that these symbols and these mortars were actually doubles. Shneim, like it says in the pasuk we quoted, shnayim, he says, al tikri shnayim, don't read it two, el shneim, rather they were doubles, that they had two sets of each of these vessels. Now, going back to the thing that was said before where they were fixing it and which actually made it worse, Tanu Lena Braisa, Pshimim Leel, he says that Shiluach Hayu Mekaleich Maim Bekeisr. There was the opening of the spring of the Shiluach, which is where the water would come out, was wide, just like the size of a small coin called an Isser. So the king commanded to widen the opening of the spring so that it should increase its waters. And actually the waters decreased. Then they went back and they made it small as it always originally was. And then the water flowed as it always did. This fulfills what it says in the Pasuk in Yirmiyah. Let not the sage glorify himself with his sagaciousness, with his wisdom, because his wisdom actually only makes it worse. Because the vessels from the first base of Mikdash were made al pi hagvur, were made based on the dictates of Hashem, like the pasuk says in Devarim Aleph, Hakol b'ksav, everything was written from the way Hashem had divinely said to me, which was all the structures that were there, and therefore when they were tried making it better, you actually make it worse. And v'al yishal gib b'gvurasa, let not the mighty one glorify himself with his might, right? Like the pasuk there ends. Rather, it's just in regards to how the Hashem gives that wisdom and gifts to a good person. Now another teaching, V'chein Hayu Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, he says, and the Gir says, Hir Davlis Lo Hayu B'Mikdash. Now, Mar Hir Davlis, Sam Abayi says, Tavlo Gur Gadana. It's a bell with a clapper. Why? Why didn't they have it? Shekayli Arv, because its voice is sweet, Uma Arves and the Iman, it ruins the song, the tune, because that would linger on at the end, and it wouldn't allow the appropriate symphony that was being played. Amr Rav Barshil, Amr Rav Masna, Amr Shmuel, he says, my great fahesa b'mikdash. There was a shovel, which is like a spoon type of vessel, which they would use to shovel out the ashes of the altar, that was there in the base of Mikdash. And as we continue to talk about Yod-Alf Man-Alf, that Asar Nekavim Hayuba. There were 10 holes in that shovel, and in every hole there was a reed and a pipe. And in every pipe, there was 10 holes. And in every hole that there was in these pipes, you could play a note. So it comes out, kol echad ve'echad meitzi asar min yizemer. That means every single hole, because it had in that hole had a pipe, and in that pipe there was 10 holes, you'd be able to play 10 notes. Nimtzis kula meitzi mei min yizemer. Comes out that the whole thing, the whole shovel, you have to play 100 different notes in that instrument. Now, but Masnitatan and the Brice will learn that he ama, that this instrument was an ama wide, but Gavoya ama was ama high, and it had a handle coming out of it. And it had 10 holes in it. Every single hole, you're able to play 100 types of notes. It comes out from the whole instrument, you're able to play 1,000 different songs. And the mnemonic that one shouldn't forget, who said 100 notes and who said 1,000, is Masnita Guzma, is that the Tanoic teachings exaggerate. Meaning to say, which therefore that's to recall that that's the one that says 1,000, which means to say because we find in Mishnayis a exaggerated terminologies, as the Gemara says, Pesachtas Chulun of Tzadim and Beis, that we find certain exaggerated terminologies, but that's just mnemonic to remember that the larger opinion was the Braisa, in contrast with the previous interpretation of Shmuel, was that there was only 100 notes that could be played with this Magrefa, with this Shabbat.